There's a verse in the first book of Samuel in the Old Testament that says that man sees the appearance, but the Lord God looks to the heart. And in the closing lines of today's gospel, Jesus makes it pretty clear that in the end, it's what God sees in the heart that really counts. Now, when he delivers this parable to his listeners, I imagine they were somewhat surprised, even though they understood that God sees to the heart. Because in the end of the parable, Jesus says that it's the Pharisee who is not justified and the tax collector who is justified. This was a complete reversal of what was expected. Because the Pharisee, I mean, we think of a Pharisee today as someone who's kind of a bad, misled person. But in those days, the Pharisees were considered to be the righteous ones. They were the ones who knew the law. They were the ones who strove to obey every little part of the law. They were considered to be the ones that were closer to God. And the tax collectors, on the other hand, were the ones notorious for being dishonest, for cheating people, stealing. So as people are listening to Jesus' parable, I imagine they're following along saying, yeah, this is all making sense. The Pharisee comes in, takes his usual place in the temple area, and begins to tell God about how good he is. He avoids all those terrible things that the rest of humanity is doing, and that tax collector certainly. And he tells God about all the good he's doing, his fasting, his tithing. So people are listening and saying, yeah, this sounds right. The Pharisee has every right to be telling God all these good things. And then, yeah, it's darn right that tax collector should be the one on his knees begging God for mercy. So they follow up to that point, and then Jesus delivers the zinger. Guess what? The tax collector went home justified. And the Pharisee did not. So what do we make of this? I think we can draw at least 2 points. We'll focus on 2 things. And it comes from actually the first part of the gospel, where Luke tells us that Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. So let's look at these 2 things, but in reverse order. We might look at the Pharisee and say, well, we don't think about other people like that. We don't think that we're different from the rest of humanity, better than everyone else. We don't look with scorn on people like the tax collector. But let's take a closer look. How often are we inclined to sort of put someone in a box? We see someone doing something that is wrong, or maybe someone just annoys us or offends us in some way. Okay, we forgive the first time. The second time, we start to notice a pattern developing. The third time, fourth time, fifth time, pretty soon, we've got that person figured out, we think. And so we sort of put them in a box labeled annoying or whatever else it might be. You have a relative that comes to ask for money. You give a second time, and you don't see him for a while. Then after a while, you see him again, and they start being really nice to you. What comes to mind? He wants money. We put people so easily into these boxes. And we rationalize that by saying, well, it's not our fault. They're the ones that keep doing this. It's the pattern that they have established. And maybe there's some truth to that. That sometimes the expectations we have of people come true. Yet, I don't think that we're supposed to put people in boxes. Because when we start thinking about someone only in, one way, according to their faults, we put them in a sort of prison. And we don't allow them the grace that God wants us to allow them. We preclude the possibility that they might change. If we've already got it figured out what someone's going to say to us as we see them approaching, or if we've already put them in that annoying box and we start looking for an escape route, what are we doing? We're not allowing that person the opportunity to grow and change. So I think that God really wants us to consider others as God considers us. Always with patience, always giving the benefit of the doubt, always ready to forgive and to give another chance. I would suggest on that point something very practical, that we make a firm commitment never to speak about the wrongdoings of other people unless it is really necessary. If we are constantly committed to giving people the benefit of the doubt, and we stop talking about the wrongs of other people, then we start to think of others in the right way and start to accord them the dignity that is theirs as human beings. The second point has to do with being convinced of our own righteousness. Again, we see the Pharisee strolling into the temple area, takes up his usual spot, and begins his prayer, which St. Luke says is addressed to himself. Interesting, he's not really praying for God's glory. He's talking about his own glory. Anyway, he's very comfortable in this place, clearly. He's not entering the presence of God with a sense of awe, a sense of humility that, wow, here I am before the Lord who knows all of my faults, who's merciful, but, you know. The tax collector, on the other hand, comes in, he keeps his distance. He does not have a great deal of confidence about being in the presence of God. He doesn't feel that he has an entitled place in this area. Now, I think we have to find kind of a balance, because we don't want to slip into a tendency of beating ourselves up too much, or hating ourselves, or thinking of ourselves as bad. That's not where we want to go. But we also have to be careful about giving ourselves too elevated an opinion of ourselves. And therefore, sort of putting ourselves above other people. We should follow the example of the tax collector, not in his dishonesty, but in the example of his heart, what is in his heart, that humility, and that frank acknowledgement that he's not entitled to anything. He's begging God for mercy. He's begging God for help. God sees to the heart. We can simply ask God for the grace this day also to see into the heart. Find in our heart anything in terms of our consideration of other people or our consideration of ourselves that needs conversion, that needs deepening, that needs growth and improvement. And we ask God for the grace this day to have hearts that are true, hearts that are pure, hearts that love not only God, but also our neighbor, and not just the neighbor that we like.